Who's that?
I asked while looking at the scribbled lines of my nephew's drawing as he proudly showed his work of art to me. There appeared to be five figures in the magic marker drawing. Four of the scribbled lines and circles sit inside a small house. The drawing represents our family, which consists of myself, my sister, and my five-year-old nephew named Sam. A smaller little line drawing with two ears appears to be my cat, Bosco. What catches my attention, though, is the figure standing outside of the house. While the other figures appeared colorful and smiling, something was strange about the drawn figure outside of the house. His lines were jet black, his face expressionless, with a black hat sitting on top of his head. But what caught my attention was the shade of his eyes, dark green color. "Who's that sitting outside of the house, Sam?" I asked.
"That's my friend Mr. Green Eyes," Sam exclaimed. "He watches me play from the window."
"Oh, that's cool, little buddy," I replied. I looked over to the window of Sam's playroom. Nothing was sitting outside but hedge bushes with a solid wooden fence sitting behind it. I stand up and walk down the hall to the kitchen where my sister is currently cleaning the stove. Sam has a new friend, apparently. Guy in a hat that likes to watch him play from the window, I said to my sister.
"He has an imaginary friend, it sounds like,"
she replied as she opened the cabinet below the sink.
"He's still adjusting. I mean, he's been through a lot these past couple of months."
"Yeah, I know. He's been through a lot with the move across the country and the separation," I reply. "This is just it's a little bit..."
"He watched his father be taken away in handcuffs. Then a month later, he's living in a new house, a new city, and everything he has ever known has been uprooted."
I shrugged, and I realized my sister's right. Sam had indeed been through a lot for someone his age. 3 months ago, I got a call from my sister asking for a place to stay. Her husband, who had always loved his beer, suddenly really started to like it. With that came intense arguments. Those disagreements eventually escalated when one day he decided to try to strangle her. I remember that night, answering the phone to the sobs of my sister telling me that her husband was being led out in handcuffs in front of her only son. I told her I had plenty of room in my house, but I was across the country. My sister said the further she was away from him, the better. Within a month, they were living with me. It was an adjustment, but I did not mind knowing that my sister and my nephew were safe. I had a shelter over their heads. She was right to assume that her son was adjusting and creating an imaginary friend in a new home and a city to find a way to cope. I decided to drop the subject, let the kid work through his emotions and be supportive of whatever the two needed from me. After all, it was just a phase. It was a late night of surfing on the web, reading the news, commenting sporadically on Reddit, and listening to one of my favorite podcasts when I heard a strange noise. Taking off my headphones and listening to the low yowls coming from somewhere inside the house, I walked downstairs following the noise that led to Sam's playroom. My cat Bosco was sitting on the window, switching between hissing and the weird clicking noises the cats make. I walked up and grabbed him, startled him a bit, but he never took his eyes off from looking outside the window. It was as if he was watching something. Now that's when I realized my cat was looking at the bushes in front of the fence that were moving. Walking down the hallway and entering the kitchen, I felt a little bit of fear going outside. Something was there, but what could it be? Did my sister's ex-husband figure out where she was? Could it be a robber scouting out the house? Turning on the light to the backyard and stepping out, I looked at the bushes. The violent rustling continued. I moved slowly towards the direction, part in caution, the other in fear. "Who's there? Coming out!" I hear no response, but now the bushes are moving even more erratic and violent. "Come out now!" I yelled. Building the courage to pick up the pace, I reach for what's trying to hide in the bushes. A loud shriek pierced my ears coming from the bushes. I laid my hand on the branches. As I jumped backwards, caught off guard by the shriek, a small raccoon made its way from the bush and quickly ran away. I felt relief that it was just a wild animal. Breathing in to calm my nerves and heading back inside the house, as the door opened, Bosco darted past my feet and into the night. Looking around to make sure the raccoon was gone, I scanned the area to see if I could find my cat. To no avail. "Bosco! Come on, come back inside!" I called out.
waiting at the door to see if by chance my cat will return. I look at the bushes one more time. After a few minutes, I close the door, leave the light on for him. It's not the first time he escaped the yard, but he always comes back the next day. He's too tired and drained from the experience. I keep standing outside yelling his name. I started to walk to my bedroom when I passed the room where Bosco was sitting in the window. Sam, in his pajamas, stood frozen in the room, gazing through the window. I walk inside, kneel down next to Sam, and ask, "Why aren't you in bed?" Sam rubbed his eyes and turned his body towards me, with his small arms stretched out. Grabbing a hold of him and lifting him up, I took one last look outside. Everything seemed fine now, with no bushes moving or animals in sight. And after a moment, we headed up the stairs with Sam clutching me tightly. As we entered his room, I couldn't help but notice more drawings of the family. One caught my attention. It was Sam's imaginary friend, but this time, Sammy had a scowl on his face. "Yeah, now go back to sleep, Sam," I said as I tucked him in. "My friend Mr. Green Eyes is outside. And he wants to play." The sound of Bosco's screaming woke me up. There was a loud hiss followed by loud screaming. I had tried to get him to come back inside, lured him with a bowl of food at the back door, but he never returned. Wondered if he wandered off the property. Ever hearing that noise tonight told me differently. It sounded like he was fighting something outside, probably a raccoon from the other night. As I ran down the stairs, the sound of my cat was becoming more alarming. It started to sound as if he was in pain. Quickly stepping outside to the backyard, I saw no sound of Bosco, nor anything that he could be fighting. It was actually hauntingly silent in the yard. I searched for any clue of where my cat might be. Walking to the area where the raccoon was spotted yielded no trace of him either. Finally, I decided to walk around the perimeter of the house. Something caught my eye near the window of Sam's playroom. My cat Bosco was lying motionless on the ground. Quickly shoveling Bosco up and rushing inside to lay him on the couch, I turned on the light to look him over. Observing that the cat had no marks or any signs of blood loss coming from his body, there might be a chance to save him. In a panic, I ran to my bedroom to dress and retrieve my keys. Picking up the still motionless Bosco and making my way to the car, I fumbled on my phone to find an emergency pet clinic and made my way there. Arriving at the clinic and hastily making my way inside, I looked to the desk person and I said, I need to see someone now. My cat isn't moving or responding. The receptionist quickly escorted me to a room and I laid Bosco down on the table. After a few moments, the veterinarian came in and looked at my cat. After checking his pulse, the vet looked over to me and said, "I'm sorry, but your cat's dead. I heard him fighting with something outside, but I don't see any signs of blood or wounds." As I watched, the veterinarian pulled out a small light. She shined the light and scanned his body. I tried to see if there were any signs of scratches, bruises, or marks I might have missed, but nothing. The veterinarian then moved to Bosco's neck and to his head. Looks like he broke his neck. How could my cat possibly break his neck? Could he possibly chase something up a tree or jump on the roof of the house? He saw a raccoon outside a couple nights ago. The veterinarian nodded and said, "Most likely he spotted the raccoon, chased it up the tree, accidentally fell." It seemed to be the most likely answer. But something was unsettling to me. Bosco had never done anything like that before. Sure, he was a cat, but I'd never seen him climb a tree. They paid the bill and made arrangements to cremate him. Something didn't quite sit right with what I'd heard. I couldn't pinpoint my feelings as I drove home. Pulled into the driveway, looking at the house. Thought of my cat's death left me sad. As I entered the house, I peered out the window. The two of us had seen that raccoon. Nothing but the night and bushes. Decided to try to get some sleep, but while leaving the room, a small drawing laid on the ground. When I picked up the picture, I noticed it was another family drawing. But this one was missing Bosco. "It's time for bed, Sam," I said loudly as I walked down the hallway. As I started making my way down the hall to retrieve Sam, who was loudly trotting around his playroom, I noticed that he was whispering lightly. First, it sounded as if he was talking to himself, but it seemed as if he was holding a conversation. The first thought came to my mind was that my sister was in the room with him. As I reached the outside of the room, I stopped for a brief moment and listened. Didn't hear my sister's voice, but Sam. Sam whispered, "Can't play any more tonight. I know you don't like it when I leave, but I have to go to bed."
Walking into the room, I watched as Sam's head quickly turned to face me. He seemed shocked that I was listening to his conversation. I looked around the room and looked at him.
"Who are you talking to?"
"You made him run away."
"Who did I make run away?"
"Mr. Green Eyes!"
Sam shouted as he pointed at the window. The feeling of something or someone, whether imaginary or not, made me feel tense after what happened to Bosco. Something in my head told me to go outside and look, even if it was to prove to myself that Sam's imaginary friend was imaginary.
"Why don't you head to bed, Sam? Your mom's waiting upstairs to tuck you in," I said.
Sam gave me a little bit of a frown, but relented and headed toward his bedroom. Heading outside and walking towards the window of Sam's playroom, nothing looked strange as I approached it. A sigh of relief came over me as I realized that no one was outside. Sam's friend was, in fact, imaginary. And that's when I saw something strange on the ground. The light showed it plainly the closer I got. A set of footprints with toes pointed toward the window as if someone was standing there, watching. The tension in my body started to rise, my legs began to feel stiff, reaching for my phone and dialing the non-emergency number, I requested for a police officer to come quickly as possible. Someone or something had been outside speaking to my nephew. Kneeling down and looking at the footprints, they looked big, deep. Whoever had been looking inside had to have been really large and heavy. After hanging up the phone and thinking of how to explain to my sister that the police are arriving without making her panic, I lifted my head up to see that the light to Sam's room was still on. Making my way to the back door of the house, I stopped frozen in terror. I didn't remember leaving the back door open.
Dashing for the door and entering the house, I called out for my sister and my nephew, but I heard no response. The sound was too quiet, like no one was even in the house. Reaching the stairs and looking up to see the light to Sam's room was still on, something was not right. I quickly ran to the stairs and I screamed, "Sam, where are you? Somebody answer me!" Entering Sam's bedroom and seeing an empty bed, I looked down to see my sister's lifeless body on the floor. Lying flat on her stomach, I rushed over to her to check for her pulse, but I felt nothing. She had bruises along her neck as if someone had come up behind her and attacked her. Sobbing uncontrollably at the sight of my sister's body, who looked like her neck must have been broken, I yelled, "Sam! Please tell me where you are!" Still no response. Standing up, I ran back to the stairs, running down the hallway and checking every room, every one of them empty, and when I arrived at the playroom, something was in the corner of my eye. It looked to be a man with a sickly pale white skin that was staring directly at me. He was abnormally tall, almost reached the top of the window. His face had a grin with jagged, crooked teeth that was stained brown. Terrifying gaze he gave me, with his gruesome eyes that were this dark green with black pupils. He pursed his lips for a moment and lifted his finger. I was frozen as his smile widened, and he walked away slowly. As the man turned to walk away from the window, I caught a glimpse of Sam following him innocently, with a smile on his face, running toward the still open back door and outside. We were nowhere in sight. The wind howled with a slight creaking sound, and when I looked to see what was making it, the back gate to the front yard was now open. Rushing to the front yard and looking around, I found nothing. Not either one. I ran to the street, desperately looking to both sides, hoping and praying to catch the faintest view of my nephew. The lights of the police cars approached my house. I looked helplessly on as it was too late. My nephew and whatever evil thing led him away had disappeared into thin air.